Blog Talk Radio.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of faults and failure, stand by me, stand by me.
Welcome, everyone, to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. If you heard that song and you got chills, what a powerful, powerful song. What a powerful song that is really a prayer to God that he would stand by us in all of our battles. This week, we're looking at the theme, it's time to take the fight to Pharaoh. Are you ready, saints? Are you ready to take the fight to the arch enemy of our souls? Of course, in our case, our Pharaoh is none other than Satan. Moses had to contend with a human Pharaoh who thought he was God. We are called and commissioned to contend with a fallen angel who wants to be God. Satan, the enemy of our souls, is our Pharaoh. We concluded yesterday by looking at Exodus chapter 7, verse 12, where Aaron's rod swallowed the rods cast down by the magicians and the sorcerers and the wise men. But look at verse 13 of Exodus chapter 7. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. You know, there's this mystery this mystery of hardened hearts. Why is it that Satan, after so many defeats, you know, Satan is on a losing streak. Satan's never won one. Satan has never won one against God. Now, he's won against us. Satan has won on numerous occasions against humanity, but he's never defeated God. Why is it that Satan, when he loses to God again and again and again, he never repents? He never says, I give up. Satan never cries uncle. In fact, Satan becomes far more angrier, far more rebellious every time he loses. Well, today we're looking at the shepherd's rod again. You know, it's the pastoral ministry under the leadership of God, the ultimate shepherd. It's the pastoral ministry that's going to bring salvation and deliverance to the captives. St. Johnsville is filled with captives, souls captive to Satan, souls whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they may not see the truth of the gospel. All lost men and women and children and young people, all are held captive by Satan. Every one of those lost people, every one of those individuals, they're held captive by Satan as he wills. So the church marches forward. We march like Moses and Aaron marched. When they were commanded of God, they marched in unto Pharaoh and they said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And if you notice, every time they went to Pharaoh, they went with that rod, that shepherd's rod hand. That's what we're going to study today. There's an epic 10-round fight. It's called the 10 plagues. God is about to unleash 10 plagues on Egypt. And each and every time Moses and Aaron go to God with rod in hand. So let's begin reading. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7, starting at verse 14. This is the first plague. The first plague is the plague where the water is turned into blood. And let's see what Moses uses in this next contest. This is the contest. This is a battle. Remember, saints, this is a battle between God versus Satan, church leaders versus the powers of darkness. Let's see how Moses and Aaron did it as they were sent by the Lord. We're picking this up at Exodus chapter 7, verse 14, and we're going all the way down to verse number 23. Here it is. Exodus 7, 4.
So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take in your hand.
So notice again, God says, go to Pharaoh. We're going to pick another fight. We're going to his palace. And when he goes by the water in the morning to do his ritual bathing as the God that he claims that he is, you approach him with that rod that swallowed those serpents. You approach him with that rod. That's the shepherd's rod. The rod that took those other rods, remember, we're in a battle of attrition. A battle of attrition is the gradual reduction of an army's numbers and strength. Every time an army is reduced in number, it is also reduced in strength. And this is the long battle that God is going to wage with Pharaoh. It's a long battle. It's a step-by-step battle. But it's a battle of attrition. With each fight, Satan loses something. Pharaoh loses something. Their numbers are reduced and their strength is reduced. So Moses, when you go to Pharaoh, go with your rod in hand. That pastor's rod is important. Let's continue. Verse 16.
And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river.
And the Lord spoke to Moses,
say to Aaron, take your rod, and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone.
So notice, Moses was supposed to go before Pharaoh. Remember, it's Moses versus Pharaoh and Aaron versus the sorcerers, the wise men, and the magicians. Now, when Moses goes before Pharaoh, he is to strike the Nile River with the rod, and it shall be turned to blood. Then Aaron, in turn, takes the rod from Moses and goes to every stream and every pond and turns them into blood. Notice, team ministry. They're together. As the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, so does he send us out today with the shepherd's rod, with pastoral ministry in the forefront.
Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. All the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank. Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river.
And there you go. So there's the first battle. The first battle. Now, we're going to leave it there because we have much ground to cover. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8. And in Exodus 8, we have the second plague. We have the third and fourth plagues. And notice again, for each one of the successive plagues, Moses has the rod. It's the rod. Exodus 8, starting at verse 1.
And the Lord spoke to Moses.
Go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt.
So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron.
Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people. And I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord.
Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only.
Tomorrow.
Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only.
Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the field. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said.
Now, in this second plague, the plague of the frogs, in verse 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand, thy rod. Notice the rod, the shepherd's rod. Now we turn to the third plague, starting at verse 16, and again, the rod, the shepherd's rod, plays a key role.
So the Lord said to Moses,
say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth. And it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh,
this is the finger of God.
But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said.
And that's the end of the third plague. And the magicians are able to duplicate what Moses and Aaron are doing. The magicians were able to duplicate turning the water to blood. Now, what they couldn't do was reverse it. They could duplicate it through their enchantments, through their lying signs and wonders, but they could not reverse it. They copied, but couldn't stop it, couldn't turn it back. The same thing with the frogs and the same thing here with the lice. Here in the third plague, the magicians have to confess, this is the finger of God. This is God. You're no match for God. But Pharaoh wouldn't hear it. Now, the fourth plague, again, starting at verse 20 all the way down to verse 32, the fourth plague. Notice the key role that the rod plays in this next round, this next fourth round.
And the Lord said to Moses,
rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign shall be.
And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron.
Go, sacrifice to your God in the land.
But Moses said to him,
it is not right to do so. For we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us.
I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.
Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.
So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go.
Now you see, my dear brothers and sisters, Satan is never going to change. Satan is a liar, just like Pharaoh was a liar. Why was Pharaoh a liar, or why did he change his mind repeatedly? Well, because his heart was hardened. The same is true with Satan. His heart is hardened. Look at all of the defeats that Satan has undergone. Has he ever shown a little bit of remorse? Has he ever repented? Has he ever said, I'm going to turn a new leaf? No, he's eternally wicked, eternally hardened. And this is why God sends out the team of shepherds. Now, if you notice, this is a very interesting battle, round four, because this one, Israel's ultimate shepherd, the Lord, does the fighting. Now, of course, he sends Moses and Aaron to make the announcement. But Moses and Aaron do not raise a rod because the invisible God, who is the ultimate shepherd of Israel, he raises his shepherd's rod. Remember, the shepherd of Psalm 23, which is the Lord our God, he too has a staff. He too has his own shepherd's rod. So in plague number four, or in round four, if you're following, God is the one who enters into the battle at this juncture, and he assumes the responsibility of bringing the flies upon Egypt. Now, of course, the Lord allows himself to be entreated from Moses. Moses prays to God, and God removes the flies. Now, God knows very well that Pharaoh isn't going to change. But you see, God has the fight scheduled for 10 rounds. And in the last round, as you can see here in the picture, the last round requires the blood on the doorpost. You see, not only is it the shepherd's rod that gives us the victories that we so desperately need, but it is the shepherd's blood, the shepherd's blood, that gives us the ultimate victory. Who is the shepherd who gives up his blood? Well, turn to John 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes the life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the final blow in this 10-round epic fight is the blood on the doorpost. Who provides the blood? Jesus does. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they, speaking of the members of the Lord's church, and they, the saints, and they, the believers, and they, the born-again ones, and they shall overcome him, Satan, Pharaoh, by the blood of the Lamb. You see, it's the blood of the Lamb that gives us the ability to overcome. My brothers and sisters, as we go out to witness, as we go out to evangelize, as we go out to tell our Pharaoh, let God's people go. All the people in St. Johnsville who are captive at Satan's will, as we go out knocking on doors, as we go out giving out our flyers or giving out our loaves of bread and giving out our little New Testament, whatever the Lord puts in our hearts to do as we go out, remember, brothers and sisters, that we carry the shepherd's staff, staff given to Grace Church by the Lord. It is that staff by which we war. It is by that staff that we do battle. And what ultimately gives us the victory is the blood of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And we shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, it is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and his shepherd's rod and his blood that secures salvation for the elect. Well, we're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow because the fight is on, and we need to see how far this fight goes. God bless you. I love you. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
When God dips his pen of love in my heart, writes my soul a message he wants me to know. His Spirit all divine fills this sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart,
let
set my sinful soul on fire.
Hallelujah,
when God dips his love in my heart.
And although the way seems dreary, dark and cold, and trouble surrounds me and keeps me from my goal, I go to God in prayer. I know I'll find him there. He whispers sweet peace to my soul. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul.
I've got salvation and he made me whole. By the goodness of such love as Jesus did impart. God makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my sinful soul on fire.
When God dips his love in